One of the ideals that we treasure in this country is that of truth or truth-telling. We value honesty, integrity, and truth, and we believe that these are the foundation for our society to function. And thus we have certain expectations as a result. For one, we expect truth to prevail in our justice system. You noticed on the statue of Lady Justice, she is blind. She has a cover of blindfold over her eyes, and she is to be blind. But her ears are also to be open to the truth. And when a person steps to the witness stand and they take an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, the courts hold that person to that oath to be truthful to what they have witnessed. And failure to tell the truth under oath is perjury. That's a felony that is punishable by a long prison term. And so because at stake, it could be a person's life, it could be a person's livelihood or property, and so it's important that the truth be told. We certainly expect truth in business transactions. We expect truth in advertisement, that a business will honestly represent and advertise their product, not making some outlandish claims that the product cannot perform. We expect salesmen to give us the honest scoop on the product and to stand behind their words and the claims that they make. We demand that bottles have the correct labels with all the ingredients listed in the order of the makeup of that product, including those that are hard to pronounce, and we desire that they would be clearly spelled out. We demand that if a product has serious side effects, such as a drug, that the manufacturers disclose them, and failure to do so could be grounds for lawsuits or even criminal actions. We demand that when financing a loan through a bank or a credit card, that all the financial information be accurately and clearly stated, that there be truth in lending disclosures where everything is spelled out. Now, I know sometimes when you listen to the radio, they'll have this advertisement, and then this person, I don't know how in the world they ever talk that fast, but somehow they talk and they say, you know, at the end and so on. I guess that's technically being truth in advertisement, I guess. I don't know. It must pass the mustard. But, you know, we desire truth. On a daily basis, we expect people to be honest with us. For we know that the only way the shop or the office or the classroom or the factory will function is if there is open and honest communication where people say what they mean and they mean what they say. And we've discovered the value of honesty and truthfulness in our family relationships. In dealing with children, dealing with parents, we want to be truthful with one another. But you know, unfortunately, many people are not truthful or completely honest. Sometimes they shade the truth. That is, they not quite tell the whole story. What they might say up to a point is true, but they don't completely give the full picture. They conveniently leave out any incriminating evidence. And so they tell half-truths, partial statements, not a full disclosure. At other times, they might be guilty in distorting or twisting the facts to reinterpret what has happened to fill their own view. And at times, they might be guilty of just telling an all-out lie, a complete fabrication, not a shred of truth in what they're saying. I've known people, and perhaps you have known them as well, who could look you square in the eye and lie to your face and without wincing or twitching. I've known people that have been able to do that. You know, I've known people, and people have been known to perjure themselves under oath. Our government has admitted at times to campaigns of quote-unquote misinformation. That is, they spread to other countries to misinform them of what is happening here. But before we come down too hard on our government, we need to look at ourselves and realize many of us, and probably all of us, have not been 100% honest all the time. Never told a lie, never twisted the facts, never shaded the truth. The truth is that none of us are absolutely honest. That is, 100% truthful, one you can count on to tell you the truth every time about every situation except for one. And that person is God. God is a God of truth. Scripture reveals that one of the fundamental attributes of God, on the same par with God as being holy, is that God is the God of truth. He is truth personified. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ." Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 10 says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King." Psalm 31 verse 5, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." And Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Our God is the true God. He is the God of truth. But what is truth? You know, we talk about truth in advertisement. We talk about truth in business transactions. We talk about people telling the truth, the whole truth, but nothing but the truth. But what is truth? You know, that was a question that Pilate asked Jesus. And Jesus, according to John 18:37, he said to him, that Pilate said he was right in saying that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so Jesus said, my mission in life, my reason I was sent here, is to tell people the truth. And those who are on the side of the truth, they're the ones that are going to listen to me, to which Pilate asked the million-dollar question, what is truth? If those that are on the side of truth are with you, what is truth? And so people have been asking that question ever since. Intellectuals today ask that question. They debate it. What is true? What is not true? What is truth? What is the nature of truth? I think a very simple definition of truth is this. Truth is that which conforms to or accurately describes reality. What conforms to or accurately describes reality. What has been, what is, or what might be. Truth is agreement to that which is represented. When something is true, it accurately explains reality. At the core of the Greek word for truth is the idea of openness. That is, there's full disclosure of what one knows to be true, accurate, the facts in a situation. So when we say that someone is telling the truth, or when we ask in court for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, what we mean is that that person is going to give an accurate description of reality, of what they saw. We desire an accurate accounting of what happened. That's the truth. And when applied to the truth of God's word, truth of God, we mean that God's knowledge, God's declaration, His representations eternally conform to reality, to what is real. God gives an accurate description of what is, what was, what is, and will be. And because our God knows it all, He can give a completely accurate view of reality. Now, perhaps to better understand this concept that God is truth, that He is in touch with reality, it might be beneficial if we look at the nature of His arch rival. His arch rival is Satan. And Jesus describes his nature in John chapter 8 and verse 44. I'd ask you to turn there. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks lies, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, Jesus knows, first of all, that there is no truth in Satan. Satan, the name itself, means deceiver. That is, in his nature. It is not in his nature or his essential being. If we were to lay Satan down on a couch and psychoanalyze him today, we might conclude that Satan had a break with reality. He was not operating, he's not operating on a rational basis. He is psychotic. Satan is psychotic. In fact, Isaiah chapter 14 reveals that Lucifer, Satan, before he fell, he became puffed up with pride, and in his pride clouded his thinking. He had said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. I am going to be God." Now what we have recorded here is clearly delusional thinking. The thinking of somebody who has lost touch with reality. And because of pride, he's blinded to an accurate assessment of his abilities, his position. He has a distorted, inflated view of himself and how things really were. And in his prideful self-deception, he insanely rebels against the rule of God over him. In fact, he thinks that he is God. And today there is no truth in him. That is, he's completely out of touch with reality. He is psychotic. Satan. Now, we've all known people, perhaps you've known them as well, who have told themselves a lie. Perhaps they've lied about something and have said it so often to so many people that they've actually come to believe that the lie is the truth. And what really happened? They live in that lie, they live in a fantasy world of their own making. They're blind to what is real, to what is true, to what is right. And my friends, that's Satan. He is so out of touch with reality and has been for so long that he thinks that his world, his view of reality is the truth, and it's not. He's not only, there's no truth in him, but notice too that Satan is a natural liar, because he says here in verse 44 that when he speaks, the last part, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar. He speaks from his own resources, or as the NIV states it, he speaks his own native language. Lying comes naturally. It just comes out. Just whatever he says, it just flows from him. You can expect he's not going to tell you the truth. He is natural at deceiving, at distorting the facts, twisting situations and words. He's so out of touch with reality, and then he spreads his fantasy thinking to others and distorts their view of reality as well. But God is totally different. The God who we worship is the God of truth. And by his very nature, he is truthful. He operates on the basis of what is real. And because he, by his nature, is truth, he is in touch with reality. And he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to mislead us, to distort the truth, to shade the facts. God cannot lie. Numbers 23, verse 8:19 says, "God is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" And then Paul says in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Now what we have on one side, the God of truth, who is absolutely honest, who cannot lie, who is completely in touch with reality, who accurately assesses and relates what has happened, is happening, and will happen. And on the other side, we have Satan, who is completely out of touch with reality, who lives in a fantasy world of his own delusional thinking, and thus has distorted view of what has happened, is happening, and will happen in the future. So these are the two beings in this world. Of course, God is the absolute being. Satan is the created being. But the two forces in this world. Now, how does this all apply to you and I? What, so what? Well, first of all, if God is the God of truth, that is his very nature to be truthful, then it follows that his word is also truth. God's word is truth. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And Psalm 119, verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The entirety of your word is truth. All of God's words are true. That is, all of what God says in his word accurately describes reality. Accurately describes the way things are, what has been, will be, and depicts what is going to happen. See, the entirety of God's word is true. So when the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1, that is what really happened. Contrary to what the Pope recently affirmed, that is an accurate description of how the world came into existence. It didn't happen through evolution, but God created everything in 6 days, just as God's word reveals. Or when the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that is an accurate description of the reality of the sinfulness of man, the very nature of man. Man's main problem is not a poor self-image or his environment, but the main problem of man is his sinfulness, that is at his very core, he lives in rebellion against God and worships the creation rather than the creature rather than the creator. But when the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that is an accurate description of the reality of the incarnation of Christ, of him coming here to earth, and the salvation that is only through him, through believing in him. That's what really happened. And that's what really happens when you and I trust in Jesus. We have eternal life. But when the Bible says that one day Jesus Christ will come again, that will really happen. It's true. It's the truth. In fact, so accurate are the Old Testament prophecies in predicting what will happen in world history, that has led some modern-day scholars to conclude that the prophecies, such as the prophecies of Daniel, in which God, through Daniel, reveals the four great world empires that would follow the Babylonians hundreds of years before the other three became world powers, it's led them to conclude that Daniel must have been written very late. In fact, after the fact rather than before. Because how did God know that the Medes and Persians would follow the Babylonians, and following them would be the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great? How did God know all of this in advance and accurately predict the course of world history and relay it to man? How? Because he is God who knows everything. He knows everything, the past, the present, and the future. He knows the actual, the potential, what it was, is, and will be. And because he is a God of truth, he can reveal that to us. the reality of it in our lives. So if God is true, then His Word is true, but it goes beyond His Word, for if God is true, then all truth is absolutely true. You know, many today balk at this idea of absolute truth. They may believe that there is absolute truth in certain areas, such as there is absolute truth in pure science like mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. No matter where you go in this world, no matter what culture you might be in, 2 + 2 = 4. Or absolute truth when it comes to definitions, such as it's absolutely true that a triangle has 3 sides. You can't have a 4-sided triangle. You can't have a 2-sided triangle. Triangles, by definition, are 3-sided. And so they would say that's an absolute truth. But when it comes to areas such as morality or religion, they would say that there are no absolutes. Who are you to tell me what is right or wrong? What might be right for me might be wrong for you under certain circumstances, and they would turn that around as well. Or who are you to dogmatically say that their only way to God is through Jesus Christ? After all, they contend, don't we all worship the same God, but just under different names? And so there are many ways to God, not just one. And so they reject absolute truth. And what they say they believe in is relative truth. Relative truth. But may I say to you this morning, there is no such thing as relative truth. If truth is that which describes accurately reality, how things really are, then it's either true or false. Can't be relatively true. And it can't be relatively false. The opposite of absolute truth in Scripture is not relative truth. The opposite is mythology or lie. Paul, in chronicling the downward spiral of man into sin and degradation, in Romans 1 says the problem with man is that they have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The truth for a lie. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 4 describes the modern man as who will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths. Myths have no correspondence with reality. You might believe in the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny, my friends, I hate to break this to you, is a myth. Even though you might find Cadbury eggs in a basket on Easter morning, the Easter Bunny doesn't exist. He is a myth. There is no correspondence or agreement with reality. A man, when he rejects the truth of God, when he rejects the truth of God and the Word of God, he will buy into Satan's view of reality, who is really out of touch with what is happening, who leaves behind the absolutes of God to sail on the sea of relative truth. He ends up believing anything, any explanation other than God. That's why scientists who have dismissed God from their thinking or have discounted the Genesis account of the creation of the world as myth can come up with their own far-fetched theories on how this world began. For me, it's easier for me to believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth than to believe that in the beginning there was a giant explosion, a big bang, and zappo, life began. Or that somehow the primeval slug crawled out of the ocean, grew arms, legs, hands, and feet, a fully functional body, and somehow evolved into a human being. Or that we owe our existence, and this is the latest theory, we owe our existence to extraterrestrial beings that had visited this planet years ago, UFOs that came and planted and started the human race. My friends, if we are indeed the product of extraterrestrial creatures, then the question remains, where did they come from? Where did they originate? Who created them? One traces one's lineage backwards. One has to come to the source, the creator, the uncaused cause of everything. Of course, that uncaused cause is God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Now I laugh when I hear some of their theories that man has come up with to describe what they see. If they really wanted to know the truth of what really happened or what is happening, they would only have to look as far as the Word of God. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7 that intellectual man is always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Oh, they might make great discoveries in science and medicine concerning the universe and the human body, but in all their learning, they are not able to put the pieces together, to be able to grasp the whole of what's happening. I believe only a believer, one who is in touch with reality, only a believer, one who is accepted as the premise that God is the God of truth, that our God is in touch with reality, that what God says accurately describes the way things actually are, has the framework to understand and to view life the way that it really is. Because God is the God of truth, we have that framework by which we can understand reality. So we as believers in Christ who trust in God and His Word are in touch with reality, whereas those who deny God and His Word have a distorted view of life. But you know, this is not what the world is telling us, is it? What the world is telling us and what we're hearing from the world is that you and I are the ones that are out of touch. We are the ones that are out of touch with our times, with what is going on in this world. You and I need to get with it. We need to jump on board with what is happening in this world. Many of them are rethinking their positions, especially in moral issues. Just read an article this week, perhaps you've seen it as well on the internet. I believe it came from a very reliable source on the internet. But that the Southern Baptists, which are the largest evangelical group in our nation, are rethinking their position on openly gay members. In fact, they've welcomed them into their church. May I say to you this morning, though, that as believers, we don't need to be afraid of learning. We do not need to be afraid of them. That's another practical application of God who is true. I believe all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth, no matter where that truth might be found. And so we do not need to be afraid of the truth, for we have a framework which helps us piece together all the pieces. For when you start with the starting point that God is the God of truth, that God accurately depicts reality, then within that framework, all the other pieces, all the other facts can be arranged and fit. Because we can study biology, we can study physics, chemistry, astronomy, and they become the study of God's creative work in this world. We can look at anatomy and physiology and realize that you and I were skillfully and masterfully made by God. We can study anthropology, psychology, sociology, and they become the study of God's masterpiece, human beings, their bodies, their cultures, their customs, their needs. History becomes His story. His story. The story of God at work in this world, directing nations, setting up, tearing down kingdoms, ultimately ending just as God has stated, it will end in His prophetic word. We do not need to be afraid to study. We do not need afraid to look into the evidence. We have a grid whereby we can put the pieces together. A worldview that's not distorted. Worldview of truth. Our God is the true God. The God of truth. Therefore, God's word is true. What God says has happened, is happening, and will happen, just as God said. Amen. So the question in closing is simply this. Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to trust with our eternity? Are we going to trust the lie of Satan, the one who's out of touch with reality, who's not giving it to you straight, who says, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you sincerely believe it? How many times have we heard that lie? Or with the he perpetuates the myth that all religious roads lead to God. Just pick one, follow it sincerely, you'll make it, or who may be saying to you, you don't need a savior, you're good enough. Oh, that's okay for the drug addict, for the alcoholic at the mission, but that's not for you. Are you going to trust the God who tells you the truth about the condition of man? That all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. You're going to trust the God of truth who tells us that Jesus Christ died for your sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring you to God. That although the wages of our sin is death, yet the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you going to trust the God of truth who said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? Will you trust the God of truth who says, but to as many as received him, that is Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name? Who are you going to trust? I think there's only one, isn't there? Amen. Only one trustworthy source. The God of truth.